On this week's episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast, host Andrew is back, and we're talking bleachers, the Jetsons' work week, and just how whales can save the planet.
We hope you're prepared for a phytoplankton of facts this week.
Yes, a ton of facts. I'm so excited, and I'm so happy that you did that pun, Andrew. Ah, but if you want to get excited, and if you want to learn even more facts, you can get the We Don't Know Either book, available on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. It's got your picture round, your puzzle, fill-in-the-blank, even music rounds are contained within it, in addition to a bunch of question rounds to keep you and your friends entertained for hours.
Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 346 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Andrew.
You okay there, Nick?
Yeah.
He's going through it.
I haven't eaten since last week, so I'm really starting to fall apart at this point.
I understand that. Hanger is a real, real problem for a lot of us. Not me. Never.
No, never Lindsay.
Never, ever me.
I've never had a We Don't Know Either book thrown at my head.
Yeah, that's the great thing about the We Don't Know Either book. Not only can you learn something, but it can also be used to keep your coworkers in line.
Yeah, it's straight projectile, if I'm honest. Pretty good accuracy. Yeah,
it's very aerodynamic.
It's heavy enough to get somebody's attention, but not heavy enough to leave any lasting mark.
You hear that, folks? Two-for-one deal.
My therapist disagrees.
Two-for-one deal. Buy a book at a blunt instrument.
There you go.
For free.
That's a good expression. But I'm sorry, we didn't actually do any pug-related research. So if you came back to this episode specifically for finding out how many pugs it would take to go around the circumference of the Earth, I'm sorry that we let you down.
But you should stick around anyway.
Yeah, this isn't the first time that's happened, and it certainly will not be the last. Okay, so Andrew is back. I would like you to kick us off this week. I got a good feeling. You're our leadoff batter.
All right.
I want to hear what's going on in your life and your interesting fact world. When you came and you told me, you're like, I'm prepared for all of these facts, and you had a million facts, so I can see you debating which one you want to go with.
Yeah, I am currently debating all the different facts that I have.
I would like to hear an interesting one.
An interesting one. Well, I have two really interesting ones. Also, my definition of interesting might be different from yours. So
that's true.
All right. What do we want to hear? Something, do we want to, you know, piggyback off of our most recent thing about the blood vessels in the body and go somewhere health oriented, or do we want to go somewhere toward like linguistics?
Ooh, I don't think we get a lot of linguistic facts.
Yeah,
here.
Language is always something that we don't do because that's a smart person's game.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, actually, if we eliminated all of the smart people things, we would never have anything to talk about.
Ah.
So.
Yeah.
Michael, I'm voting linguistics. Nick, what's your vote?
Yeah, linguistics. Absolutely.
Oh, linguistics, absolutely.
All right, well, I have to figure out how to put this into a question.
No pressure.
What sport does the term bleachers originate from?
Ooh.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good question.
Ooh. Yeah, okay. So what do we know about the term bleachers?
I
don't think it's anything bleach related.
It might be. I mean, what? Why wouldn't it be? That's the only thing I can think of.
I think in no less than three Bruce Springsteen songs, he talks about under the bleachers.
No less than three.
What do we? All right, let's go down. Do you have anything other than the bleach path?
I don't. I have a guess, but I will hold my guess until the end because I don't really have a logical train of how to get there.
I'm kind of there too, actually. Like I have a gut feeling, but
okay. Well, then let's think about this out loud. Mm-hmm. What are sports? There's basketball. There's hockey. There's baseball, there's football, there's soccer, there's ball hockey, the greatest of all sports.
Absolutely.
Bowling.
The king of sports. There's bowling, cricket.
Golf.
Horse racing.
Golf.
Marble racing.
Marble racing. Jeez. I'm going to say, okay, so it would be old, the gladiator fighting? It would be old, right?
Is
no,
gladiator,
but those are made of stone.
Is gladiator fighting a sport?
Yes.
I guess it was at
chariot
one point.
Racing?
I mean, wrestling would be.
Right.
So
no, gladiator fighting is a sport. No, I think that
more extreme wrestling.
Bleachers has to derive from the term.
As opposed to non-extreme wrestling, like just casual, normal, safe wrestling.
Well, when was the last time you saw a wrestling match where a dude had an axe?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's an extreme, yeah.
Get it together. AEW, this is how you can really separate yourself from WWE right now, is more axe matches.
That would be watched. People would definitely watch. I would watch
they
that.
They have something
and I don't
similar
watch WWE.
In the something similar in like the Russia and like Finland. There's like it's called like M1 or something, and it's like people literally go into an arena, and they have like weapons and things, but they're dressed like full like knights. So they literally just have full on like what is it? UFC like sword fighting, but like dressed like knights and like all this armor.
Okay. I remember there was a History Channel thing about jousting a while back.
Mm-hmm.
Man, like I love that Deadliest Warrior. That was the best show.
A classic show.
One of my absolute favorites. Okay, so I tried to cheat.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I tried to search the word origin of bleach. I didn't look up word origin of bleacher because that would be too much cheating.
Sure.
But I did want to know the word origin of bleach. And dictionary.com letting me down.
All right. Mm-hmm. So I think it has to be bleach. Bleachers, bleach. It's something that's bleached.
Wow.
How does something get bleached? You can use like Clorox, right? But that's probably not what it is. So it would have to be like
it's Middle English from before 1050.
Okay, but I would assume it would mean like bleached by the sun.
Mm.
So it's a wood plank that's outside. Mm-hmm. It's gonna change color. It have to be repainted. It's gonna be faded by the sun. It's gonna be bleached.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say baseball because baseball outside day games bleachers boom.
Yeah, I was going to say baseball as well because, one, I said you were the leadoff batter, and so I want that to work.
The pre-transition transition?
Yes, I want the pre-transition transition to work. And also, I feel like baseball's pretty old in terms of old sports that have been an institution for a very, very, very long time, and bleachers have been around for a very, very, very long time, and therefore it would make sense that this is a very old popular sport that would influence a word that we all know.
In the lexicon.
Exactly. Thank you for saying that in a great way.
I was going to go slightly different. I was going to say soccer for a lot of the same reasons, just with a more international feel.
Sure.
Would you also accept football for his answer?
Oh, yeah, I would.
So what is it?
So we have our answers, and yes, it is baseball.
Hey!
The context is I was in New York last weekend, and I went to a Mets game. I'm trying to go to all the ballparks in America, and so I went to a Mets game.
That's really the only reason to go to a Mets game.
Honestly. Although I saw Pete Alonso hit the record-tying home run for most in a rookie season.
Oh.
So that was fun, I guess.
He's having a good year.
But the sunset was really nice that day. The weather was really great, and I was just really pissed that the stadium is facing LaGuardia and not this beautiful Manhattan skyline behind us with the sunset. I was like, this is such a waste of space for architecture. Who made this decision?
Yeah.
And I posted about that on Facebook. I was like, why on earth is this magnificent skyline being wasted? And my grandpa, he's a really big baseball fan. He chimed in the comments. He said all outdoor baseball fields in Major League Baseball are pointed north-northeast to allow the sun to not get in the batter's eyes.
Oh.
Yeah. So
wouldn't that maintain if it was like south-southwest? Wouldn't that also work?
You know what? I guess.
I mean, literally the opposite direction should have the same effect while giving you a view of not LaGuardia.
Yeah, I guess maybe they were just trying to, maybe that's what Shea Stadium was. They were trying to maintain the foundations from that.
That's the other thing. Does the stadium predate LaGuardia?
No, this city field is actually was built in like 2014.
Oh, okay.
It used to be Shea Stadium, but then they tore it down.
Got it.
So he was telling me that that's why they face that way. And so when that happens, pitchers who their left arm faces south, so that's also where the term southpaw comes from.
I'm learning all kinds of new things.
But he was saying back in the old times, you know, before they had big terraced stadiums like they do now, while the sun wasn't in the batter's eyes, it was drenching all over where the people were sitting. And so that's why they were called bleachers, because they were always bleached by the sun.
I'm very personally very thankful that not a lot of stadiums still have bleachers anymore, because I like chairs, specifically cup holders for beers.
Armrests.
Armrests are great, And I don't want to, you know, piss off the bleacher lobby, but.
Right. And let's be honest.
Big bleacher.
What is the best part about baseball? Beer.
This is true. This is true. So who's got a segue from sports, baseball, etc. language? I don't know.
I think I might have one, but it's a bit of a reach.
All right, Michael, let's hear it.
All right. So, you know, if I had more time in my life, I think I'd go to more baseball games.
Sure.
You know, especially with teams in the area and all that good stuff.
Yep.
And I think a good way to do that would maybe adjust my work week.
Yeah, I mean, there's day games and night games and
exactly.
Yeah, you can
doubleheaders.
You can definitely make it to all of them if you wanted to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, thinking about it, I actually this fact actually comes from the Jetsons. There is a connection, I promise.
Oh, okay. So the Jetsons from baseball to, or from sports to baseball to Jetsons. Got it.
So, debuting in the 1960s, obviously, it the Jetsons was based in the 2060s.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
100 years in the future.
Exactly. So they had a lot of things already that we use now, like video calls and stuff like that. However, George Jetson's work week, specifically, how much time he spent at work was a little unusual. Mm-hmm. So pretty simple question. How many hours was George Jetson's work week?
It's not unusual for the 2060s, obviously.
Sure.
Yeah, are we closer to that yet versus when the show
we
premiered?
We are exactly halfway right now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. We were in 2012, we were halfway.
All right.
Wow. Mm. Okay, so exactly halfway.
So this is according to Forbes.
Okay, I don't know. Do you guys know what George Jetson did for a profession?
Yeah, he worked for the Sprocket.
Spacely
Sprockets company. He made widgets.
Obviously. I've seen the Jetsons. I didn't remember.
Yeah. Which is now a real thing, by the way.
A widget?
A widget is a thing, but it's an internet thing, and it's not whatever he did.
Sure. I mean, the term widget has a definition. It's any manufactured item.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, that's hence he worked in a widget factory.
Okay.
I didn't realize that there was a term for widget outside of the internet. So.
Me neither. Yeah.
I predated the internet.
Yeah. So I would assume it's not 40, because why would you be asking?
Right.
Andrew, what are you thinking?
I'm going to think 30. Like, I don't think it's going to be too far removed.
Oh. What makes you think that?
I don't know. Maybe
because we're halfway there and
yeah.
You're not getting any time off right now.
Yeah, basically. I don't know, maybe he had like a space union that he can't work 40 or something. I don't know.
Okay, 30. I'll go 8 and say he works one day out of the week.
All right.
Okay, so fun fact about the Jetsons.
What?
This can be a bonus fact. Bonus fact. Bonus fact. Bonus fact. You know, we had a sound engineer in here, and he said, "Hey, should we get Lindsay a soundboard?" And I said, "Absolutely not.
Yes. Absolutely. Veto."
I like that idea.
Bonus fact. How many episodes of the Jetsons were there?
Well, we already asked that a couple weeks ago.
We did.
Yeah.
It wasn't a couple weeks ago. It was a couple years ago, but sure. There are 24 episodes of the Jetsons. 24 total.
I think original ones.
Yeah.
And they did the reboot.
I have seen all of them.
So
wow.
you know the answer.
Including the episode where George talks about his work week and how he's exhausted after such a long work week. So you all have already made your guesses?
Yeah.
He works 1 hour a day, 2 days a week.
Oh.
Wow.
So this is where I got a little confused.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what Wikipedia says.
Oh, okay.
That's not what Forbes says.
Oh, what did Forbes say?
Uh-oh.
Forbes, Lindsay's closest on this.
Okay.
Forbes says 3 hours a day,
uh-huh.
3 days a week. He worked a 9-hour work week.
Interesting, because the episode that I remember, he talks about he has to work an hour a day, and he has to go in 2 days in a row.
Right, and that's actually, it's interesting here, the update, there's an update at the bottom of this.
Uh-huh.
In an earlier version of the post, I relied on Wikipedia for the length of George's work week. I have since corrected it from a 1 hour a week to 9 hours a week.
Okay.
So it's somewhere, I've seen it in both. Where
non-corroborated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is according to Forbes for the purposes of using this in trivia, according to Forbes.
Okay. Well, I think my task is laid out before me. I think I'm going to have to go back and watch all 24 episodes and figure out exactly where it is. No.
Okay.
No, I don't have them anywhere. But yeah, I mean, that was George Jetson. Basically, his job was to come in the morning and push the start button. He just had a big, giant, huge desk with all of these dials and monitors and everything, and just one big red button. And his whole job was to push that button first thing in the morning.
Isn't that basically how pilots work nowadays?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah.
There's more than one button, I think, but other than that.
Yeah, but they don't, like, isn't most of them computerized? Like, they pretty much just, like, start, and then the plane flies itself until, like, landing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a pilot.
It made me think of my favorite scene from the A-Team, the movie that they did. Where they're getting on the plane, and Murdoch's just going, "Can I get the keys? And you guys got the keys?"
All right.
So, yeah, 9-hour work week. We're only 50 years away.
Someday. The dream. The dream.
They're, in my research of all this, because like I said, I found the same thing you did.
I didn't find anything. I remember that episode. I remember talking, I have to work an hour a day, and it's grueling, and now I have to go in 2 days in a row.
I ran across a quote that was, because he still complained about his workload.
Sure.
Because, of course he did.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter how many years it is, some things don't change.
Right.
Right, and then at the end of the vacation, though, you're still like, oh, man, I'm ready to get back to it. So there's really no win.
There's a quote that he uses that's just like, he made me work 2 hours in a row. What does he think this is, a sweatshop?
Right.
I was like,
George, dang.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, Lindsay, you have your transition.
It is going to be a stretch. Okay. So let's talk about the future, okay?
All right.
The future, we need oxygen to survive. That is true now, and that probably will be true in the future.
Sure.
I hope so.
Yeah, so my fact is related to the
oxygen.
World's oxygen consumption and how it relates to whales.
That is a 4'10" needs something from the top shelf stretch.
That is a stretch longer than the 10.5-foot pole that they touch the Grinch with. Like,
stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff on the planet Earth. Are the Jetsons on Earth? I don't know.
I don't believe so.
No, they are on Earth.
They're levitated above it.
They're not levitated above it. They're attached to poles on the ground, and every time they pollute the atmosphere that they're at, they push the button, and all the habitation goes above the smog level.
Is that true?
That is true. Yeah.
See, that's the kind of like moral that I want from the Jetsons.
Yeah,
I didn't
exactly.
even know that, but now I'm like they were really ahead of their time with this whole climate change.
Oh yeah, no. It's the downside is they decided that we're not going to do anything about it. We're just going to live above it. So
speaking of doing stuff about climate change,
there it is.
Whales.
Uh-huh.
Very.
No, still bad.
No, you guys are okay. Let me just follow me down this path.
Whale
okay?
hole, if you will.
Mom, I'm scared.
Hold on 1 second. Should I try my transition and then we can vote on which one would be better?
Go ahead. Yeah. Where you wanna go?
Okay.
I'm still gonna get into this fact because again, it's super interesting. Like very, very interesting.
So speaking of 9-hour workdays. You know who doesn't have a 9-hour workday? Really hardworking actors. Actors who have been in a lot of things. No?
So what, they just can sit around because they make their money from their movies?
No. They have long workdays. You know who doesn't have a 9-hour workday? You know what, Lindsay? You go with your fact.
I didn't think that it could be worse than mine, but Nick, you never cease to surprise me.
Hey, I'm good at what I do.
I love that me and Andrew didn't even have to vote. Nick's like, yep, now I'm pulling myself back out.
Okay, so you know the basics, the greenhouse effect, right? The more CO2 in the air, it makes the world hotter. That's pretty standard science, right? So for trees, they do about 48 pounds of the CO2 out of the air per year,
sure.
Like per tree average.
Scrubbing, I believe, is the term.
Yeah. So
48
whales,
pounds?
48 pounds. So whales, when they die, their body takes in all of this carbon throughout their entire lives. They go down to the bottom of the ocean and they take 33 tons of carbon dioxide out of the air. 33 tons per whale.
Why do I think that Lindsay's going to pitch a climate change solution that involves whale genocide?
Okay. No, it's the opposite of that. We need more whales.
Can that be your secret phrase? Whale genocide?
Whale genocide? Yeah, that's a great idea.
Okay, so whale genocide is your secret phrase. Whale genocide is your secret phrase.
That whale genocide, that got dark.
Whale genocide.
Yeah, I want to be clear that I'm not advocating. I'm advocating for the opposite.
Wait a minute. No, you're advocating for more whales so that what will happen?
So that we have more oxygen and the Earth is better.
And how will we get that oxygen?
What are you talking about? I don't understand.
Well, you said when a whale dies...
You guys aren't following. I have a list of things to go through.
I'm sorry.
Follow
I will stop
me.
Interrupting.
Follow me on my whale trail.
Okay.
That sounded terrible. What is a whale trail? It sounds like a type of underwear. isn't it? Is that what it's called? Yeah, that's a thong.
A whale tail.
A whale tail.
A thong is, a thong that sticks up above the back of your jeans would be a whale tail.
I got
tail.
It. A thong is not related to my fact, unless you want to be wearing one while I tell you this fact.
Sure.
That's fine.
This is a whale trail.
Yes. Yes. A whale trail. Okay. So I would like to first. So there's photoplankton in the. This has just gone off the rail.
Off
the rail. Okay, well.
If we don't have it, if that's not the title of this episode, I don't know what it is.
All right, so.
Going off the whales.
Oh my gosh.
So in the ocean ecosystem, there's phytoplankton. And phytoplankton are those little small organisms. They contribute 50% of all oxygen in the atmosphere. So 50% of all oxygen in the atmosphere come from phytoplankton, right?
Yep.
And they also capture 40% of all the CO2 produced as well. So to put that into perspective, that's 1.7 trillion trees, or four times the Amazon rainforest.
Got it.
Which is, like, you don't really hear about phytoplankton as much as you really should when it comes to climate change.
Yeah, shout out to phytoplankton.
Is it odd that I've heard a lot about phytoplankton?
I think that's great for you. I'm pro you and pro phytoplankton in your life.
The only
okay.
time I hear about phytoplankton is when he's trying to steal a Krabby Patty.
Yeah. So the population of whales increases phytoplankton. It's part of their ecosystem. Whales poop. Their poop has iron and nitrogen that help increase the size of
phytoplankton. The circle of life.
Yes, exactly what happens. So anyway, our good friends at the International Monetary Fund.
Uh-huh.
See, that now that's what a curveball. Like, who would have expected them to have
it was
any
a
input?
Hard left turn. We, a couple weeks ago, we had somebody from National Geographic in here. That's why you have this fact.
No,
got it.
No, I have this fact because it's from the International Monetary Fund. They have their main like publication is Finance and Develop, and they published a big article about whales, climate change, how important it is.
Uh-huh.
So they calculated, as they do at the IMF,
uh-huh.
the value of a whale in terms of fishing, in terms of
perfume.
No, in terms what? Of whale watching, in terms of the economic benefit, because more whales equals more oxygen. Good things happen.
More
so
oxygen
I'd like to,
equals continuing economies.
Yeah, a healthier planet. Sure. So all of those facts really weren't related. I just thought that they were interesting.
Uh-huh.
So
here's my question. In 1972, left fielder.
Yeah. So according to the International Monetary Fund, what is the average value of a great whale in dollars?
Okay.
That's my question to you. Okay, so I get that a lot of those things, again, were not related, but 50% of all oxygen in the atmosphere from phytoplankton, okay? If you increase phytoplankton by 1%, that is the instant appearance of 2 billion trees in terms of CO2 and oxygen productions.
That outpaces the number of trees we plant on an annual basis.
Yeah, just a 1% increase, which is you can get from doing all this whale stuff. So
sure.
Fishing, watching, the CO2 sequester, how right. it's called, and their value with the phytoplankton. So what is the average great whale?
Is there a range we should have?
I could give you a range. I guess I'll give you
$1. That's my final offer.
$500,000. Give you a half mil.
Okay.
You know that historically most perfumes are made from whales, right?
I do know that, okay. But I was being dismissive about it because the IMF article did not mention any perfume variety.
I think those were the economic benefits that were glanced over.
I'm going to say 20 million.
20 million.
I'm going to say 40 million.
40 million.
I'm going to say 6.5.
6.5 million. Okay, so in retrospect, my range is probably large. The whales are worth $2 million. They said that is a very, very conservative estimate, and they said easily over $1 trillion for the current stock of great whales.
Oh.
So I'll ask that question.
So what you're saying is whaling, hugely beneficial. Oh, no, you're saying the opposite of that. We need more whales.
Yeah, I'm saying
that. And less whalers.
Yeah. No,
well, I mean, I'm just saying that the more whales and the more phytoplankton, like, the less CO2, more oxygen, good things will happen for the planet. That's what this whole article says. I did not write for the IMF, nor am I any sort of scientist, but I thought that this was super interesting and important, and now I'm uncomfortable because you're all staring at me blankly.
No,
so.
Actually, Lindsay, I think you're more on point than normal, and you don't even realize it. I'm pretty sure this was literally the theme for Star Trek IV.
Oh, what about whale populations?
Yeah.
Oh, are they? They have whales with laser beams attached to their head?
They traveled back in time to go get whales because there were no whales in the future.
Wow.
So it's been a while since I've seen it, but I'm pretty sure that was the premise for the entire Star Trek movie.
Wow. Well, go me.
Yeah.
Well, read the article. You'll see why I found it interesting. And I hope you have a great time, as much as a good of time in reading the article as I did.
Sure. You didn't researching it?
I was trying really hard to squeeze in a Hartford joke there. Because we need less Whalers.
Was it hard for you to do that?
Oh, no, the Hartford Whalers.
Yeah,
the
hockey
team.
I know.
Yeah. He made a Hartford.
Oh, yeah. I got it. Sorry.
All right. You
that
would
hit me on the way back.
I don't know where the timer is on this, but there is no chance that I have enough time for my interesting fact. So
I was about to say that you're just done. This whale tale is just ending.
Yeah.
It's just ending.
And with
it's
his
done.
Pun, we need to turn off the microphones.
I will say that the Hartford Whalers do have one of the best logos in sports ever.
That's true.
Yeah. And I will stand by that fact.
Sure.
I'm willing to buy a jersey for that team just for the logo. It's really
good. It's an H, it's a W, it's a whale tail. It's everything.
Truly.
The dream. Okay. So thanks everybody for listening. I don't have anything else to say except my conclusion, which I do at the end of every episode. And thanks for listening. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Andrew.
And we don't know either.
Bye.
Bye.